This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
The Old Testament lesson for today seems kind of like a throwaway. One that in practicality we may be inclined to just gloss over and go for the gospel. I feel sure that the only person who really clung to the Hebrew text this morning is the person who had to read it. And as soon as he got to Nebuchadnezzar, we all zoned out. No shade. Thank you for reading it. There are just so many places and people with names we can't hold on to. The tedious details are lost easily because none of these places or people are recognizable to us. Except Jeremiah, of course, who wrote the book. But these people and places, these details were meaningful for those in the time that it was written. And Jeremiah's people would have easily understood what he was saying and doing, which is why the author goes into great detail about the transaction. What he was doing was clearly saying, "You cannot have this land. I will not sell it. You will not take my heritage. You may have taken my nation, but you will not succeed in taking my land and the future of my people, of my children. I will not give in, not with my dying breath." This, dear people, is a hope and a resistance that we need right now. So let us focus on this reading and set aside the gospel instead. A few chapters before this one, God has promised through Jeremiah that all those who he has sent into exile in Babylon will return to their home one day. Further, God tells them to go ahead and make lives where they are, to take wives and have children and live fully. God promises to be with them there and tells them that whenever they seek God, they will find God. And this is important because God's people in Babylon are struggling. They've been forced out of their homeland and are living in exile. They feel alone and bereft, lost to God and all they knew before. They are refugees. God wants them, even as they build new lives, not to believe in the dreams of the people where they are, because God did not send those dreams. God says he sent word through Jeremiah, not from these false prophets in Babylon, and God promises to restore their fortunes and bring them back home. And what of these people who were not exiled? Well, God will visit wrath on them through the king Nebuchadnezzar because as they have, as Jeremiah said, perpetuated outrage in Israel. They have spoken in God's name lying words that God did not command them. What follows occurs just as the prophecies promise, and it is agonizing for those who were there, just as those who were exiled were in agony. And by chapter 31, God is saying, just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant. So by chapter 32, where we pick up today, we're in the middle of that destruction and chaos. Jeremiah has been imprisoned by the king of Judah. Babylon is besieging Jerusalem. And Jeremiah hears another prophecy from the Lord that says his cousin will come to him and tell him to buy this land because by rights it's his. And this prophecy comes to pass, and Jeremiah indeed buys the land. So I will watch them to rebuild and to plant, said the Lord. Jeremiah buys the land even though there is nothing left there for him. He is at the end of his life and in prison, and yet he buys it anyway. He does this knowing that none of it will benefit him at all. He buys it and pronounces that houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. He is refusing with his last breath to give in to the collapse and the oppression that is Babylon's reign. He's refusing to deny God's call to him and believes instead in the hope and the call of God's promise. He does the absurd thing and closes a real estate deal from life in prison, no parole, just because he believes in the staying power of God and the promise of the new covenant that God will make with God's people. In the midst of absolute chaos, with political figures spouting their own ideas of God, in a time where he could have been easily swayed in order to bargain for his freedom, Jeremiah refuses to let go of God's promises. Jeremiah never stopped hearing the truth of God's voice. What must it be like to watch your nation crumble before your eyes? To watch people you love be disrespected, imprisoned, exiled, or slain? What must it be like to turn your back on everything you believe in? To be forced to follow different laws and policies that you have never held as your own? I cannot imagine. What Jeremiah is offering in the midst of this chaos must feel so empty to them, so unbelievably hollow. He is saying God will return us to where we belong. God's promises can be trusted. God loves us and wants safety for us. But how thin did that promise feel? How much weight could it have possibly held? This scenario is so familiar. The devastation of those cast out, of those sent over state lines in exile, of those who are taken suddenly and imprisoned. The pain of policies written to persecute, to exclude, to condemn people who want only to live in joy. I wouldn't know how to answer these problems if this was our reality. I wouldn't know how to stand up or respond to oppression and destruction that seem to have been wrought by an angry God, or at least in an angry God's name. Would you? Do you? What I do know about pushing back and realigning with God over and over again, I have learned from my own experiences and from the experiences that you invite me into as your priest. What I see in our collective journeys is the very same God from whom Jeremiah pronounces wisdom and promise. I see a God who is investing in our future. I see a God who comes to us and says, "Do not fear, I will return you to your former self, to the glory you deserve. I will provide for your children and families. I will protect you and claim you. Seek and you will find me. Call me and I will answer." This is the God that Jeremiah professes and the God that I have witnessed in our lives, friends. That is a God that never leaves us and one that promises us restoration. You may not know that I had a rough time growing up. I suffered losses and had struggles that resulted in trauma. I've been imprisoned by my own false beliefs. I have been exiled from my family on multiple occasions. I have been wronged and mistreated, as I know you have too. These are the things that Jeremiah's people encountered physically and emotionally. The same. God has plans for those of us who have brought the suffering upon God. Not of us. Let me say that again. God has plans for those who have brought the suffering upon God's people. God is very clear about judgment and reckoning. Jeremiah was not popular in stating this loudly. Of that, I am sure. He was imprisoned. But let us be crystal clear about what he is proclaiming, that our God is one of justice and that God will mete out that justice. But here is another thing that I know. My suffering was not brought upon by God. At one time, I wondered about that because these passages are really hard to interpret. And it seems that I could have been suffering because I was one of the people that God was visiting justice upon. And so it took me a couple of decades to be able to understand and believe what the words of the psalmist hold for us, and that they were crucial for understanding this God that Jeremiah professes, the one that I profess. And I believe these words are linked to today's passage for this reason. The difference between God's justice and our suffering is in what and whom we proclaim. The psalm says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty." It is that simple. "You shall say to the Lord, 'You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust.'" The promise and provision of God comes when we see that if the God of justice wants for us everything that we want for ourselves, then it will be delivered. Because we are bound to God in love, God will deliver us. God will protect us because God knows us by name. God will answer us when we call. God is with us in our struggles. God will rescue us and bring us to honor. Jeremiah believed this so fully that he refused to give up the land that he would inherit. He would never live upon it, never have it for himself, but he would not let it go. Not only does he say no when he is asked to sell it, but he takes very careful steps to ensure that the land will be used in the future for homes and family farms in order to rebuild the destroyed nation he once loved. In his last breath, he delivered into their hands the very hope that he refused to let go of. And he offered the only thing he had left and ensured that future generations would bear fruit and rebuild and try again to create a kingdom of love and prosperity rather than one of wealth and greed, of power and corruption. That same God of justice walked me right here to this pulpit so I could tell you that all you have to do is seek God. Call out to God when you are suffering, and you shall find refuge under God's wings. You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, of the plague that stalks in the darkness, nor of the sickness that lays waste at midday. You have only to be bound to God in love, and God will deliver you. God will protect you because you know God's name. So be at peace, friends, and take heart. Beyond this moment is another one, and the God of restoration will be there. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.